Do you have a dark curiosity? Heart Starts Pounding, Horrors, Hauntings, and Mysteries is a weekly podcast hosted by me, Kaylin Moore. Each week, I'll take you on a dark journey through terrifying true urban legends, bizarre true crime cases, chilling tales of backwoods horror, and more. So if you're looking to join a passionate community of the darkly curious, check out Heart Starts Pounding on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. And remember, stay curious.
What's up, everybody? Happy Friday. Junkies with you on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here in the DMV. 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM in Richmond. We are streaming live on the free Odyssey app, iHeartRadio, TuneIn. And you can watch us on the Monumental Sports Network, brought to you by our friends at Crop Metcalf. They're the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. Looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber, just visit CropMetcalf.com, and you can join their team today. We thank you for tuning in this Friday, August 22nd, 2025. I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Eric Bickle.
Morning.
Morning. And Johnny Cakes Auville's here.
Yes, hello. Cakes Classic in 10 hours, 4 p.m. at MGM National Harbor. If you'd like to come out and play some cards tonight or later this afternoon.
4 p.m.
Yes.
Nice.
4 p.m. Hope to see a bunch of the sicko degenerates there.
Friday at MGM National Harbor, That should be hopping, too. Whole place should be hopping.
Should be
Friday nights generally are hopping. I'm wondering if they have anything going on Friday night, this Friday night, in the theater.
Not sure.
Well, I'm sure they have something, right?
They don't have something every
weekend,
but they have them most weekends.
Yeah.
They keep that theater pretty busy.
Yeah, I love going there.
Moving through there.
I ran into Mike Beasley when I went to the Commanders game on Monday. I had field pass and was down on the field, and sure enough, Mike was there, and he was like, I haven't seen you in a while, and I think the last time that I went for a show, I didn't actually go to the show. It was three couples.
Ah.
It was Dancing with the Stars. The women went to the Dancing with Stars, and the guys went to the casino.
I mean, I've gone to a lot of shows at MGM National Harbor, whether they're, you know, rock shows or comedians. I'd be hard pressed to go to a dance show. It's just something I've never been into dancing. Never been into watching dancing.
No,
it's just not. It's not.
I bet you've seen. Maybe not, but that Instagram reel of that Asian kid dancing to "I'm Coming Out." Have you seen that?
I bet I haven't.
Because he's like a hip hop dancer. It is unreal.
I'm guessing I haven't.
It's like
seen
one of the most viral clips ever.
I'm gonna go out on a limb and say dancing. Not in my algorithm.
It's not in mine either, but that one pops up.
Yeah.
I went years ago. I took my mom and the Frasers, who you know, who are in their 80s, to Dancing with the Stars because Mrs. Fraser was a big fan. And I watched the show. It was impressive. And then my wife did the charity Dancing with the Stars thing in the last year. But the guys bailed out. So as it turns out, Friday, August 22nd, there is not a show at the theater that I can see. But on Sunday, if you're into kind of old school,
yes,
they have Kansas.
Oh, yeah, I saw the poster.
38 Special and the Outlaws.
I mean, Kansas and 38 Special. If you don't think they had some hits in the 80s, and
Kansas's, I might be completely botching this, as early in the morning. Is their number one seed Dust in the Wind?
It has to be.
Okay. That's a great song.
It's that and Carry On My Wayward Son.
That's a great one, too.
That's a smash.
That one I know by name. I don't know Dust in the Wind by name.
You would know it if you heard it.
Yeah. You've heard it probably a million times.
I'm sure.
It's a slower song.
It's a song that we can relate to. It's about death. So, yeah, you probably are into it.
There it is. 6:04 in the morning, reference.
I mean, it's something that basically trails us every day. You just got to dodge it. By the way, speaking of which, yesterday I was walking my dog with my wife on my block on the busiest street in Montgomery County. I'm 200 feet from my house, 200 feet on the sidewalk.
Less than a football field,
three or four houses away. And of course, somebody's not paying attention while they're driving. And they plow directly into my mailbox.
Oh, your mailbox. How many times has it been pummeled?
It gets punished all the time.
Why don't you move it back?
Can't.
Can't move it off the street?
No, because they got to
drive by and
They drive by and put the mail in. Trust me, if I could have a mailbox like my old school rickety nubs mailbox, it was hanging on the siding right next to my front door
in your townhouse
or my house where I grew
up. Okay, like Bowie.
Yeah. It is such a luxury for you people who get your mail directly up to your house. Do you understand the fact? I just put that mailbox out 2.5 weeks ago because it had gotten hit before. And the mailbox is the least of my worries because, hello, he also went directly into the sidewalk and into my driveway. And then, of course, because it's a terrible person, they just drove away. They didn't get out of their car and come up to the house and say, you know what? I'm really sorry. I lost control of my car.
How does that happen?
And I smashed your mailbox. I would love to pay for the replacement. Do you think that happened?
No.
Do you think that happened yesterday?
Is it because it's around a bend? I don't quite understand. It's not even that much of a bend.
It is kind of around a curve.
It's called a mailman rushing.
It wasn't the mailman.
Oh, it wasn't the mailman.
The mailman.
Sorry.
It was a random jerk driver that's not paying attention. And again, the mailbox is the least of my worries. It's my wife going down to get the mail, or me going to get the mail, or me and my wife and my dog at the end of our driveway with some jackass plowing into my property.
What's the speed limit on your
35
road?
35 miles per hour. Nobody goes 35 miles per hour.
Hmm. Everybody goes 45?
Some people go faster. It's crazy. And of course, the person just drives off, no regard whatsoever.
You know what you need? And there's nothing you can do about it unless you got on the Homeowners Association.
Well, I'm not going to do that.
On a road like that, you need speed bumps.
Trust me, I would.
Or circles.
I would welcome a speed bump or 10 on the road to slow people down.
I just don't understand how they could just hit that mailbox repeatedly.
Here's how. People just looking at their phones and not paying attention. I'm sure that was it.
Mm-hmm.
Probably staring at their phone, look up, all of a sudden they're smashing my mailbox into a billion pieces.
But aren't they also smashing the curb, going over
the curb?
There's
no curb. It's just flat. There's no curb there.
That's one of the issues.
It's just road, a white line. You think that's stopping anybody? And then a 2-foot strip of grass, sidewalk, then my property. There's no curb. I wish there was a curb. I wish there was some impediment to people destroying my property.
Mm.
So then I had to go out to Home Depot, try to find a mailbox. They didn't have one that I needed. I had to drive closer to JP's Hood, go to Lowe's.
What was these cost? A couple hundred bucks?
No, it was like $80. Because I'm not spending a lot on a mailbox because people run them over all
right.
the time. All the time.
Yeah.
The next time it happens, I'm just going to hire my neighbor Kevin to build me a brick fortress of a mailbox.
Do some people have that?
That hopefully destroys somebody's car the next time it gets hit.
Do some people have that? A brick fortress around
there? I mean,
there?
Not a lot of people, but you see people, instead of the mailbox being pointing this way, they've turned them this way so that there's less to hit.
Yeah.
Because it happens all the time. It's not just to my house. It's people up and down the road.
Yeah. Maniacs.
It's maybe insane. On the edge of your
can't
grass.
I can't even comprehend it.
On the edge of your grass, and I don't know how to call these things, you throw out those things which have spikes.
Spike strips?
Yeah, spike strips.
Sure.
So that people drift, they get flat tires.
Sure, it's fine. Yeah. I'd be fine with that. I was on massive life tilt. Just cause, I mean, please just stop and offer to pay for my new mailbox at a minimum.
No one's going to.
Or apologize?
You know what you need?
Apologies?
You need a Ring doorbell so we can start capturing all these accidents.
The tree would block it.
Can we just put one on the mailbox?
I guess you could.
Maybe. I don't know. Might need. I don't know.
It would get destroyed because it would just get hit and just be part of the carnage.
Right. Put it on the tree.
I don't know. I don't know what else to do.
Yeah.
I just, I'm at my wit's end.
Yeah.
I'm
seriously, I know you love that area, but just move to another house in the area. Like it's a less busy road. Oh, have you ever pondered it?
I mean, this gets the wheels turning on it.
Yeah.
It actually does. My kingdom to live on a cul-de-sac.
Yeah.
You know, cul-de-sac living must be the best.
The only
because
problem
the
with
only
it
people
is
that are coming into the cul-de-sac, for the most part, are the people that live there.
Yeah. The only problem is you have to be really social. You kind of have to be because you're all in everybody's
it's
business.
Fine. It's a sacrifice that I would make. I would be willing to make that sacrifice.
Yeah. When I lived in a cul-de-sac, I knew everybody.
And again, it's not about the fact that the dumb $100 mailbox gets pummeled. I mean, that's annoying. It's the fact that my kid could be at the end of that driveway. I could be at the end of the driveway. Just some random neighbor walking their dog is just
run
over.
Even you just walking your dog.
Of course. I think about it every time I'm walking up and down that street. Every single time. Ruins my quality of life.
You got it.
My quality of life ruined.
You got to move. I think you got to move. I
have to. But moving is just...
It's such a pain.
Moving just makes... It just makes
get
my skin crawl.
Get a deal with JP's buddies that own the moving company.
Metropolitan Moving and Storage.
Of course. I'm sure they would make it as seamless as possible. It'd be great. It's just a lot. It's a lot to move.
Yeah.
This is the one thing that would move me to contact my like local... Whoever could get the speed humps put in.
Got to be part of the HOA.
I just won't do that. Kevin's part of the HOA. I could
call
him.
There you go.
Yeah.
I mean, do you understand? I went to Home Depot and I couldn't find what I needed. They have speed humps in the parking lot of the Home Depot.
Yeah.
To keep people from speeding in the parking lot of a retail store.
Those are so
you went
annoying,
to the one by
work.
The dead Best Buy?
No, I went to the one in Aspen Hill.
Okay.
Aspen Hill.
Because the Gaithersburg Home Depot is next to a dead Best Buy.
So it's a zombie Best Buy.
That Home Depot by Aspen Hill. I drive by it all the time when I leave the club. They always have all the guys that pick up work. You know, they're gambling on something. They always, if you see, the corner, there's a table. They're all around the table.
Haven't noticed.
I don't begrudge them.
Yeah.
I'm only curious.
What game are they playing?
What are they playing?
I don't know.
There's some sort of table there. I think it's a dice game. And they gamble. Because what else is there to do?
Yeah, they're busy.
They're done with their work
day. They need to kill time.
They're hardworking guys. And they're standing there and they're just gambling.
They should come play in the Cakes Classic today if they have extra time.
There's literally 15 or 20 of those guys.
I've never seen this.
You got to look. It's back off behind the sidewalk. It's up on the hill a little bit.
Okay. All right.
You got to know.
Next time my mailbox gets destroyed and I need to buy another one, I will check that out.
Yeah. If anybody knows, I'm desperate to know what they're doing. Is it simply just like craps? I don't know what they're doing.
Couldn't tell you.
But they're definitely gambling.
Okay. I'll have to keep an eye out for that.
They got their own little mini casino going right there.
Good for them. If their own little cottage
busy.
Industry.
Yeah. They work, and then they go over and they gamble it.
Hey, I love it.
Yeah.
No gamble, no future. Let's go, baby.
Right.
Let's do this.
Well, hey, you won some money on Wednesday, you lose a mailbox on Thursday.
I told you that money's just... I mean, it's how life works. It's so fleeting.
It's how life works.
That's the way
but
it
I think
is.
You're still in the net positive by a lot.
I'm good, but I mean, it'll be gone in a heartbeat.
Yeah, well.
It's just the way it is.
That's right. You bought the computer.
Yeah, but computer,
the laptop,
mailbox,
plus mailbox.
It's gone. that money is accounted for.
All right. Phone number if you want to get in touch with us throughout the show is 1-800-636-1067. We got the last preseason game coming up tomorrow. It's between the Commanders and the Ravens. We'll check in with Kadri Ismail, former Ravens Super Bowl winner, co-host of the Purple pregame and postgame shows on WJZ-TV in Baltimore. He'll jump on at 9. Plus, we have not one, but two big announcements on the show today coming up at 8 o'clock. We're the Junkies, coming right back.
Do you have a dark curiosity? Follow and listen to Heart Starts Pounding on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. Chucky's on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here in the DMV. Let's do a little Chucky sports page right now. And I'll start with some baseball. You know, the Nationals have had a rough year. 52-75. But they beat the Mets, pounded them 9-3. And James Wood broke out of a slump, 3-run home run. Riley Adams hit a go-ahead, 2-run single in the 5th inning. And you get a win over the Mets. I think when you look back on the season, you're going to think about what went right. And that's James Wood, number one. 26 home runs on the year so far.
Mm-hmm. He's been pretty much, I mean, he and Mackenzie Gore, I'd say, right?
They've been limited, bright spots.
The biggest bright spot.
For the Nats.
I mean, even Dylan Cruz, who we talked about yesterday. You know, like 8-23 or whatever. But he's still batting under 200 for the season.
199. Just can't get above that 200 mark.
I do think Brady House has been okay. He's been solid.
Hit 3 hits yesterday. Went 3-4. He's hitting .246 on the year. Only has 2 home runs.
Yeah, I guess maybe he's not going to be a power hitter. But, I mean, who knows? Maybe that'll develop. But, yeah, I feel like he's handling his business. He's hanging in there. His first shot.
47 games with only 2 home runs. I think you want more power out of your corner infielder.
I think so. But that's not the only metric, right? I think he's doing a good job. I think defensively they like him. We'll see. Maybe he could develop.
But hey.
He's only 22 years old.
Yeah, he's a youngin.
You got James Wood. You got CJ Abrams. Got a couple other young players. Dylan Cruz that you hope develops. Brady House. Like you mentioned, Mackenzie Gore. And we'll see what happens here in the offseason. If they end up making a managerial switch. If they make a general manager switch.
It's going to be hard for me to take them seriously until they start spending. I think your floor for payroll's got to be like $100 million.
I don't think they're gonna. When's the looming lockout? 2 seasons away.
Couldn't tell you.
Yeah, I think we talked about it when you were away.
I think at the end of 2026 is what they've said.
Yeah.
So you would get all of next season in.
Yeah. Then the lockout.
Believe that's correct.
I mean, if you're following a team that's spending $50 or $60 million in payroll, and your division mates are spending north of 200 and sometimes 300 million. I mean, it's hard to think you're going to compete with those teams.
They're not.
Okay.
Well, they're not.
That's the current state of the Nats then.
Yeah, it kind of is.
Of course, we've been focusing on Terry McLaurin a lot in the last couple of weeks. Our NFL Talk on the Fan presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much these days, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday on CBS and Paramount Plus all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. And there were reports, which we talked a little bit yesterday, that McLaurin is looking to land parts of the 5-year, $150 million contract that the Steelers gave DK Metcalf earlier this year.
But again, for the 5 years, that's it's a bit of a fallacy. The only real guaranteed money for DK Metcalf, I believe, is in the first 2 years of his deal. So you look at the 5 years, you got to look at the guaranteed money and the money at signing. Those are the numbers that matter. Those are the numbers he's really comping DK Metcalf against.
Nikki Javala from The Athletic now is the one who said that somebody with knowledge of the contract negotiation said the veteran asked for more than DK Metcalf. Mm-hmm. In the article, she writes, McLaurin believes he's one of the best receivers in the NFL. He's been the Commanders' leading receiver every season since he entered the league, which was 2019. And last year, the second most receiving touchdowns in the league behind Jamar Chase's 17. He also ranked third in expected points added on targets and seventh in catch rate amongst receivers with at least 100 targets last year. But among this same group, his total receiving yards ranked 12th and his average yards ranked 25th.
I don't hold it against anybody for a big ask. You go big. What I might start to hold it against you is if you're not willing to come off it. Or,
right,
you're just marginally coming
off. Yeah, you have no wiggle room whatsoever.
Yeah, I mean, go ask for the moon. That's fine. That's standard, actually. But then after that, at some point, you got to show some flexibility. And maybe they have, but it just hasn't been reported. We just don't know what that number could be. What the bottom end of that threshold could be where they could actually meet in the middle somehow. For the Commanders, reportedly, it's in that 27-28 range. I know that Grant and Danny had the guy from SpotTrack on, and he plugged in all the numbers, and the number he kind of came up with was 27. He actually plugged in all the numbers, and his little formula said, give him 3 years and $27 million each, and it was something in the realm of like $82 million.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be an incredible deal.
You would think, especially if a big chunk of that 80-some million is guaranteed money.
Yeah, but... that's what the machine's spitting out. That's what the kind of scene of seems like the consensus is at this point, what he might be worth. But until he accepts it, we're going to be in this pickle.
Couple other stories here, NFL related. Jerry Jones, Cowboys owner, went on Michael Irvin's YouTube channel.
Mm-hmm.
And he said the agreement he believed he made with Micah Parsons would have made him the highest paid guaranteed player other than a quarterback in the NFL. He said, quote, nobody appreciates Michael Parsons more than the Cowboys or me. Nobody has ever offered him more money than I have to play football, period.
Yeah,
well,
but
who else could offer him? He's been signed by the Cowboys. He was drafted by the Cowboys.
Here's the problem. Is it written down on paper anywhere? Is this a real formal offer? Or is this just Jerry spitballing Micah in the room without his agent?
Yeah, but then he did present it, and that's where they told him to shove it where the sun don't shine.
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
He said, when we wanted to send the details to the agent told us to stick it up.
Yeah.
Well, I can understand Micah and the agent being pissed. Because the agent, it sounds like Jerry's trying to circumvent and try to get the deal done without him in the room.
Right.
I mean, there's a reason that Micah's hiring an agent to do that work for him.
Right.
So I can understand them being kind of pissed with the way things have been handled.
Now, somebody is going out on record, and he's a nobody. He's got like 19,000 followers, but he's claiming, and he's not revealing his sources, but that his source is saying that Micah told the Cowboys that he only wants to play for Dan Quinn.
Oh, really? I did see that Micah scrubbed all of his social media of any sort of Cowboys content.
Right.
Like, I think yesterday.
I think he's seriously pissed. Like, I think Terry is pissed, but I feel like you can come back from it. Micah is seriously pissed. Mm-hmm. It's hard for me to see a scenario at the moment where they work it out with Micah unless they literally just cave and give him everything he wants.
Yeah, I mean, a few months ago, we thought it was unfathomable that Myles Garrett would go back and sign with Cleveland. And then Cleveland gave him basically $40 million per season.
Right.
And bygones were bygones. And everybody's happy.
Right.
But I think it's going to take a sack of money bigger than, obviously, what you gave Myles Garrett to make Micah happy and want him to stay in Dallas.
How big would the earth move if there was some sort of Micah-Terry deal?
I mean, that would be seismic. It would be amazing.
They don't even need him over there, right?
Who, Dallas. Terry?
Dallas.
I mean, they brought in George Pickens to run with CeeDee Lamb. So, I mean, that's an upgrade over what they had.
Yeah.
They'd have a pretty crowded wideout room.
Right.
I think I like it as a fantasy football type trade.
Well, I'm just saying, just sort of
spectacular deal.
Just as an earth rattler.
Oh, it would be huge.
Yeah.
It would be massive.
Yeah.
Injury news,
which is always important this time of year.
Exactly. We had Dave Richard on the show from CBS Sports Fantasy Football Guru. Mm-hmm. He started coming on the show yesterday. We'll have him on throughout the season like we always do for your lineup decisions. Chris Godwin has been activated off the PUP list, but he still won't be able to play for the Buccaneers when the season starts.
Drabby, this means that the hype for Emeka Egbuka out of Ohio State is going to be going crazy.
They're raving about him.
Well, yeah, it seems like Baker's raving about him. I think he's learned all of the receiver positions. Like, he's going to get a ton of playing time because Jalen McMillan, who's in year two, is now out, I think, for half the season. I think he sprained his neck. So there's a lot of injuries going through that Bucs wideout room. Egbuka going to have a big role as a rookie.
Well, they also have Sterling Shepard, too, I believe.
Okay. I mean,
so a nice veteran role.
I mean, that guy's had a hard time staying healthy throughout his NFL career. I wouldn't expect a ton out of him, but he is a vet in the room.
Did you watch any of the Giants preseason and Jackson Dart last
night? Watched a little bit of it.
He is kind of fun to watch.
He is.
You got to tell. You know, you never know how to draft these guys. It seems like it's fairly like a crapshoot, but man, they might have hit on one there. And it's going to be hard if Russ just kind of does what he did last year to keep him out there more than a couple weeks.
Maybe Ben can find this, but I think my man Fitzpatrick was kind of joking on his release, saying he has a slow release.
Oh, really?
I think it was pregame.
Uh-huh.
But who knows?
Yeah, I mean, he may. Might
but
be right.
What?
May it turn into a fatal flaw.
For a team that looked like it had a mess in the quarterback room, I mean, you've got a vet in Russ.
Mm-hmm.
You've got a guy showing promise in Jackson Dart. And you have the most fun guy in the league in Jameis Winston.
Yeah, when,
also in that quarterback room.
I don't know what Jameis did after. I'm sure he was a disaster. But when he first came in, right away, touchdown pass.
Yeah.
Dart gets dinged up a little bit. Jameis comes in. Boom, touchdown.
And then Dart was on the sideline goofing with him, feeding the W's. I mean, it's a fun room with Jameis in it there in New York.
Looks like Tommy DeVito's on the outside.
Oh, yeah, I would think so.
Yeah, but here are your numbers. So Jameis only had 8 passes, 4 for 8, 1 touchdown, 1 pick. That's what he does.
Kind of what he does. That's a Jameis roller coaster ride you get
Jackson
on.
Dart. Rookie, 6 for 12, 81 yards, but another touchdown. Mm-hmm. He's had a bunch in the preseason.
He also had another bomb that the guy just dropped. Now, he was draped all over him, but, I mean, it was a beautiful pass. Down the left sideline. I mean, that would have added another 50 yards.
He also had a 23-yard run, so he's athletic. And then Tommy DeVito, who I guess is the fourth quarterback right now on the roster.
He's on the outside looking
17
in.
For 20 for 198 yards and 3 touchdowns. Quarterback rating 147.5.
That's a good tape for him.
Let's go to the audio we have of Ryan Fitzpatrick talking about Jackson Dart last night.
You know, from Jackson Dart, it's exciting. He's got leadership, he's got intelligence, and he's got moxie, which is a fun thing. I don't like his release. I think it's slow. He dances like Drew Locke. Not a huge fan. I don't think Giants fans should be excited at all.
Wow, that's really a real shot.
Raining on the parade over there.
Ryan, I mean, he said like five or six nice things, and then he just murdered him.
Brought the hammer at the end.
Then he just murdered him. Wow.
Yet another preseason game last night. It was the Steelers and the Panthers. You know, with the Steelers, all eyes are on Aaron Rodgers, and he just doesn't play in the preseason anymore. So it's kind of a great unknown. Skylar Thompson was 11 for 13 for a touchdown. Carolina didn't play Bryce Young. The third preseason game, you know that they don't play guys. But people are interested in the Cleveland Browns preseason game, and it appears that Shedeur Sanders will play in that final preseason game. He responded to, it's interesting, I didn't think Dylan Gabriel was taking a shot at Shedeur Sanders, but Shedeur Sanders was asked about it, and he was like, it is what it is, so maybe he perceived it to be a shot.
Well, I read his comments, and he said he talked to him on the plane about it, and that that he said it wasn't about you, bro. And he said, you know, what do I know? I don't know if it is or was it. But he also said, like, nothing anybody says can affect me. And so, I don't know. He's leaving it open as it might have been against him. But certainly he told him it wasn't.
Kevin Stefanski, the head coach of the Browns, said they're going to play their starters in the game between 20 to 25 plays. So you're going to see your starters. But Shedeur is expected to play. Kenny Pickett, not expected to play. He's been dealing with a hamstring injury.
Drabby, what do you want to say?
Well, we got to go back to that Fitzpatrick thing because
he's murdering him.
I know, but I think it wasn't intended for air. I think they're just doing like a bit.
Okay.
There was called like, it's like a run through before. I just watched it again.
Okay.
Because I saw the story and I was like, that doesn't make a lot of sense. They would never say that. And then other people on TV or reporters saying, yeah, you just say crazy stuff during the warm-ups before you get to your actual segment. And then at the end of that thing,
so that wasn't
Thompson
on
says,
air.
Yeah, say that on air and laughs.
I don't know what you're like, talking about. That's how crazy TV is. They do so many rehearsals.
It was rehearsal, and he was just joking around, I think. All the people in the professionals, reporters are saying, well, that's not real. That's all sarcasm.
Okay.
So that was just a bit. He was doing a bit.
Because that... Yeah. Well, it's impossible for me to know. I'll take your word for it because I didn't see it. But that sounded crazy. Say all these nice things and then just slaughter him at the end.
Yeah, it didn't make a lot of sense if you listen to it.
Yeah. I guess now I got to watch.
Right, I only heard the clip, so I didn't have all that context with that Drab's giving at this point.
He probably does have a long release, but I don't think that precludes him. I mean, Randall Cunningham had a long release. A lot of guys have had long releases.
Bottom line is he's balled out in three preseason games. Does that translate to the regular season? We don't know. But they invested a top draft choice in Jackson Dart. And so far, he's produced every time he's been on the field.
Now, it does sound like Al Michaels was just going hard on Ryan Fitzpatrick on the broadcast for like 15 straight minutes, according to this Twitter feed. Now,
nice.
I'm not going to go back and listen to all 15 minutes, but it sounds like Michaels was roasting Ryan Fitzpatrick's career.
Right.
Which, you know what? He had a pretty solid career for a guy who went to Harvard.
Totally.
And played football at Harvard.
Totally. It's just not like something that these guys do either. Like, they don't go up there and roast them like that. They don't just murder a guy. So, I mean, if it was a rehearsal, okay. I don't know how that stuff leaks out. I mean, I'm watching him throw. It doesn't look like it's overly long. Maybe it is. I mean, he's certainly not Marino.
I mean, that touchdown he threw to Dulcich, he zinged that ball in there. Seemed like he got there with the quickness.
Yeah. Since you used the word murder, that's a good transition for the story about Jaylen Brown's dad, the Boston Celtics superstar. Jaylen Brown, his dad, a former boxer, Marcel Brown, was arrested for attempted murder after allegedly stabbing a youth football coach in a parking lot dispute.
Oh, no.
Las Vegas Metro Police is investigating a stabbing that went down at the All-American Park on Wednesday. Said the two men were in a verbal altercation over a parking space. McCakes always says he worries about parking.
No, I, I don't worry about parking. You know what? You know why? I don't worry about getting stabbed in a parking dispute because I park 20 spots away. And I don't get into disputes with people over things as trivial as a parking spot.
If you pull into a plaza, though, and it's packed.
Yeah.
And let's just say you're going to the Harris Teeter or something.
Sure.
And it's freaking packed. And you got to park, like, so far away, like, four or five storefronts over. You still go an extra 20 spots away from everybody else?
Maybe not necessarily. But I am not the person who trolls through every lane looking for the closest spot.
I understand. But let's just say there's 10 cars, and then a space, and then 10 cars. Are you going to go for that one space in
depends.
The middle?
I'm going to scan the parking lot and find the spot that I like the best. That's what I do.
So here's what went down. So the alleged victim's girlfriend told the cops that Brown dinged their vehicle with the door of a Lincoln Navigator as he got out of the passenger side.
Okay.
The woman stated the coach then got out of his car to check out the damage. But Brown brushed it off and said it was simply a bump before calling him a bitch ass.
That was fighting words.
Started to walk away.
Yeah.
Then there was a back and forth. The woman claims the two agreed to duke it out, it says here on TMZ. But when the coach's back was turned,
do you agree to a duel?
Brown pulled out an object from his right side, swung his arm in a stabbing motion, striking the coach in his back.
God, what an idiot. What an absolute moron. Why are you even walking around with like a concealed weapon like that? You're leaving a football game?
Some people are walking around with knives, guns.
You're leaving
a
football game? You're a grown-ass man. Like, what is going on?
He's a big boy, too. Brown is... This is... There's no way. I mean, maybe there's a way. According to TMZ, this is also the woman stating that Brown was 7 feet tall, 300 pounds. I was like, there's no way. Except Jalen Brown is in the NBA. He is like 6'8". So is his dad 7 feet, 300?
I mean, that seems like a stretch. But
seems like a stretch, but I'm also looking at a picture of him.
Yeah. He's a huge dude.
He's a tall guy.
He is a big guy.
Big boy.
The big fella.
And according to the one witness, he chased after the guy. The coach is 5'9", 160.
Guy doesn't need? A knife, because he's a big dude and he's a boxer.
Need the thing.
I mean, what are you doing?
Right,
unbelievable. All right, a little bit later in the show, coming up at 8 o'clock, got two big announcements. 9 o'clock, Kadri Ismail from the Baltimore Ravens to preview the preseason game, the final preseason matchup between the Commanders and the Ravens. That's coming up at 9 o'clock. We're the Junkies coming up.
Do you have a dark curiosity? Heart Starts Pounding, Horrors, Hauntings, and Mysteries is a weekly podcast hosted by me, Kaylin Moore. Each week, I'll take you on a dark journey through terrifying true urban legends, bizarre true crime cases, chilling tales of backwoods horror, and more. So if you're looking to join a passionate community of the darkly curious, check out Heart Starts Pounding on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. And remember, stay curious.
Right back. Welcome back. Chucky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan, talking Commanders training camp, Odyssey Sports training camp coverage brought to you by Geico nationally. Switch and save, get more with Geico. So they've wrapped training camp. After the final preseason game, it's just going to be practice.
Yep.
And I guess Terry was there for the last day of training camp. We talked a little bit yesterday that Coach Quinn seems just tired of answering the same old questions, which you can understand.
Well, wouldn't you be?
I thought he wasn't that testy. People really sold it as like he's getting irritated. I thought he handled it okay, but he's definitely sick of dealing with it, and he just wants Terry to sign.
Mm-hmm.
It's out of his control.
Yeah, I mean, he's not the guy determining the contracts for the players. He's just a guy coaching the roster.
Right, it's just getting close. Like, I mean, how much longer are we going to wait?
Plus,
sick of guessing.
He knows that's his second best offensive player. Like, it's going to impact them winning or losing games if he's not on the field and producing. It affects his livelihood too.
Well, of course.
So he wants his best players under contract, happy, playing at peak performance level. And if that's not happening, he's going to start losing more games than he's winning.
So they were practicing about 20 minutes into practice. He walked out of the Commander's facility wearing his hooded sweatshirt, shorts, his hat. He walked down the hill. and then watched the other players. And then at the end of practice, he huddled with the wide receivers. Yeah, it is what it is.
That's what he's going to be doing until he either comes to an agreement on a deal or, you know, he just caves. At some point, unless he's just going to miss game checks, which I still don't think is going to happen, he's going to have to tuck his tail between his legs and realize that he's not going to get better than DK Metcalf money. Like, he and his agent have to come to that realization at some point. Maybe they're just delusional and still think at some point that the Commanders are just all of a sudden going to come to the table with 33 plus million per year AAV.
He has to know that's not.
That's not going to happen. Like,
they're not.
He's got to know that. He has to be well aware of that.
I'm not sure if it didn't hurt him that the offense looked kind of good in the one little drive, even though they didn't even throw one pass. Mm-hmm. Because it did remind you that part of the reason why the offense has been struggling throughout the preseason is because Jaden hasn't been running.
Right.
Because they don't want to expose him to injury.
Mm-hmm.
So Jaden's just been kind of thrown, not to say that he's not a pocket quarterback. Of course he is. But part of what makes him elite is that ability to take off and run. And we saw that. I'm not sure if that didn't hurt him a little bit. But them just having such an explosive first drive.
Sure, it didn't help.
Yeah, right?
Couldn't have helped his position.
Yeah. I don't know. Everyone's sick of it. I'm sure the audience is sick of it. We're sick of it. I know the DQ is sick of answering questions about it. I'm sure the press corps over there, John Kime and Nikki and JP Finley and everybody over there, they're sick of asking questions about it.
Here's what does help him is that Luke McCaffrey's done nothing to distinguish himself. He's actually probably hurt himself.
Yeah.
Noah Brown still isn't back on the field. There's not a lot of options.
Although
there
the update
in the
on Noah
room.
Is that he is trending in the right direction.
Like, he's going to return soon.
Yeah.
But since he's been here, he's been a guy who's had a hard time staying on the field.
Yeah. Track record doesn't bode well for, like, him playing a bunch of games this year.
Even when he gets back, you can't be confident that he's just going to be healthy for 10 or 12 straight games.
No, he's going to have to prove that.
But Quinn said that the arrow is definitely pointing up for him.
Okay, that's fine. That's coach speak. That's okay. But, I mean, he's a guy that I would think is probably going to get dinged somewhere along the way.
By the way, did you guys see the report? I'm sure you did. Where Eric Dickerson is claiming that the NFL told teams don't draft Shador. We're going to make an example of him. I'm sorry. I don't believe it. There might have been something somewhere said, but I just don't believe that they would go on record or even off record and whisper to teams, hey, don't draft him. We're going to make an example out of him. Why? What did he do?
Dickerson doesn't have any sources, right?
He didn't have any sources.
I find that hard to believe.
But yeah, I saw that yesterday. It's just being reported as kind of.
Although
like
he did say he talked to somebody in the NFL, and he says that it was a very good source.
I still believe Dickerson. It. I'm sorry. I don't believe everything. That's something I don't believe. That the NFL went on, not record, but they went sort of behind the scenes and said, hey, don't draft Shador. We're going to make an example of him. For what? Why are you going to make an example of him?
Yeah, like, I don't understand why there would be like
what did he do?
There would be collusion and blackballing.
Because he's a wealthy kid? Because he's got a nice car?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know why there would be a smear campaign.
I could see individual teams saying, you know what, we don't want to deal with the dad. He's a little much. Okay, fine. But does a mandate from the commissioner's office or from somebody very, very high in the league office saying, hey, don't draft Shador. We're going to make an example of him? I don't believe it.
So Dickerson,
don't believe it,
was on Monday Night Football at one point, was terrible.
Yeah.
If you remember, as a sideline reporter. Here are the quotes. What I heard from someone that's in the NFL, the NFL told others, don't draft him. Do not draft him. We're going to make an example out of him.
For what?
This came from a very good source. A very good source.
All right, whatever.
And he said that, I won't say who, somebody called the Cleveland Browns and said, don't do that. Then he adds, they weren't going to draft him either. They were forced into drafting because somebody made a call. This is an NFL side source for sure. The thing about it is, I'll just say it, they don't like when guys, especially black players, that's mostly us with the brand, some guys are flashy. They don't like that. This kid has already made $17 million from a card deal he signed and another $14 million, I think, from some shoe deal. He was good money-wise, but I know he wants to play in the National Football League.
So you can just discount everything? I discount 99% of that.
Why would the NFL risk getting just sued into oblivion for colluding against a player.
I just don't believe it.
Like, I just don't. I have a hard time believing that, too.
I don't believe
it. Like, are the Browns facing...
Virtually all of that, I don't
Are
believe.
The Browns facing repercussions now because they did draft him? Like, is somebody going to...
He's doing both sides. I mean, don't draft him, but then they made a call, and then they said draft him.
Right.
Because they didn't want to draft him.
Right. It's... Don't believe it.
Yeah.
I don't believe Eric Dickerson either.
Not a good source.
Or he has, like, one of the world's worst sources. Like, this guy's...
Vic, you gotta fix your phone. What's going on, dude? Hold on.
Close your window or something.
Hold on. Can you
Sounds
talk
like
to
he's
him?
In a tunnel.
Vic, you gotta fix your phone.
I mean, that's just egregious. Egregious behavior on a Friday.
Not gonna work.
What do you think of, EB, you made a big thing about Brian Robinson's chains. What do you think of... Is that his shirt or is that a necklace? Is that a pearl necklace that Jackson Dart has?
What was that pearl necklace?
Listen.
Could have been. Some guys will wear it.
When's the last time you seen a guy wearing a pearl necklace?
I've seen one guy. I can't think of it. It was like a TV guy that was like peacocking. Okay. That was like his... Maybe it was a guy on The Bachelor or something like that. I remember seeing some guy on TV that his thing was wearing a pearl necklace.
Okay.
Look.
And that's kind of what... Did you look at it? Look, I only saw it for a second or
he's
two.
He's wearing it.
He has some sort of chain.
He's got some sort of chain.
Yeah.
Whatever. I just thought that B-Robs was particularly this massive, which is fine, whatever, but also wearing the sunglasses and also knowing that his production hadn't been that great. Like, I just didn't understand it.
I've never been...
And I said also, at the very moment I said it, this is a cheap shot.
Never been a necklace guy. Maybe back in high school.
I don't mind a necklace.
Maybe back in high school, I rocked a necklace for a bit.
All right, let's go.
I was a gold chain guy until I got stabbed. Yeah. And then that kind of ended it.
Let's go real quick to George. George, what's up, buddy?
What's up, boys?
Hey, George.
Hey, thanks as always.
Thanks, man.
Hey, real quick, man, regarding the whole Shador thing, we know they collude. See Lamar Jackson. See Colin Kaepernick. So we can't put it past the NFL to collude on Shador. Then regarding B-Rob,
What would he have upset them for? Why would Shador be in their sights? Because he's a wealthy kid? Come on.
The brash, look at me guy doesn't fit the team dynamic in the NFL. And we know that the NFL shield is supposed to be bigger than any one individual. That's how they set it up.
I'm not buying it, but I hear what you're saying. I hear you, but I'm not convinced.
I understood, B.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, buddy. Thank you.
Yeah, but,
all right, he's buddy. Team Eric Dickerson. He's team ED, not team EB.
I hear you. I'm not convinced.
I'm not really convinced either.
Yeah.
It was very curious that a guy that most people thought was a first round pick would slide all the way to the fifth round. Seemed extreme, but it's happened before.
They told him not to draft him, but then a call was made and they told him, you better draft him.
Maybe after 2 days of pressure.
Yeah. All right, we'll come back and we'll tell you, we'll get more into what's going on with the Commanders, including an update on the Brian Robinson situation.
I need that.
All nice. Right. We'll hit the scans next here on the Junkies.
Do you have a dark curiosity? Heart Starts Pounding, Horrors, Hauntings, and Mysteries is a weekly podcast hosted by me, Kaylin Moore. Each week, I'll take you on a dark journey through terrifying true urban legends, bizarre true crime cases, chilling tales of backwoods horror, and more. So if you're looking to join a passionate community of the darkly curious, check out Heart Starts Pounding on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. And remember, stay curious.